Our first lesson this evening comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And in this familiar passage, Isaiah foresees the birth of Jesus. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading tonight is from Psalms, and this is Psalm number 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." I will tell you of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As recorded by St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Our Christmas Gospel. We sing together verses 3 and 4 of O Little Town of Bethlehem. The children that are present tonight to come forward for a children's message. Yeah, it's a good day when we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Hi, Rowan. You know that our theme throughout the season of Advent and now Christmas, 12 days long, and then Epiphany, is glorious light, right? Joyous light, glorious heaven. And we have been talking about light, and so I brought two things with me tonight, and I wanted to see if you know what these two things are. What are they?
A book and the lights.
A book and the light. Both of them could be called night lights, right? Because in this book called the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what that means? What does that mean, Elijah? Yeah, and is God's word, the Bible, Jesus, is it going to trip you up and make you fall? Or is it going to protect you and guide you and help you see where you're going? Huh? It will. It'll help you see where you're going, right? A light to my path, right? A lamp to my feet, God's word. And this here is a night light. And I brought this with, well, you know what we use night lights for, right? Do you ever use a night light? Maybe when you were a baby in a crib, your parents might have had a nightlight in your room? Maybe?
Yes.
Yes, okay. My mother used to always, every time she packed and went on a trip, if she went visiting someone like at the holidays, she would always throw a nightlight in her suitcase. You know why? Because if you're in a different house, maybe in the basement, and maybe you've got to get up in the middle of the night, and if you don't know where you're going and you can't see where you're going, you might trip and fall and get hurt, right? And so you use a nightlight. Well, for this nightlight to work, what do you have to do? You got to plug it in, right? But even if I plugged it in, if the switch on here was broken, would it work?
No.
No. If the bulb was burned out, would it work?
No.
No. So you plug it in, you got a bulb that works, you got a switch that works. But somebody turned the power off. Is it going to work?
No.
No. You see, this night light, it helps. It's good, but it's not the best. The best light of all is the Word of God. And in the Word of God, we find out that Jesus is the everlasting light who shines for us in every darkness that comes our way. In other words, it's good to pack a night light. It's good to pack a Bible, but you want to make sure you always carry Jesus with you. Because if he's an everlasting light, then you never have to worry about the darkness or the night. Will you pray with me? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, you are the light of the world. And so I pray. Guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Season of Advent, we've been using a liturgy called Holden Evening Prayer, and it is a liturgy that celebrates the gift of the everlasting light. And so it contains words like, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and shine within your people here. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation story, shine on every land and race. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't always liked the dark. In fact, there were times in my life when the dark was a bit scary. I mean, it's fun for our kids. It was fun for me when I was young, growing up on a farm, to be able to play night games. And I suppose it would be a bit complicated to be able to do hide and seek if, in fact, it was daylight rather than nighttime. But when I grew up, one of my fondest memories is that on the farm place, we had a big, bright yard light. It was a security light, and it gave security to me as a young person who was sometimes worried about, maybe even a bit frightened by, darkness and those things that hide in the shadows of night. For example, when I was playing sports, I would ride an activity bus at night, and the bus would not let me off at the end of our driveway, which was a quarter of a mile long, but would instead drop me off at another intersection, which was another quarter of a mile away. So it meant that I had to walk in the winter when it was dark at night, and it was a bit scary. However, the thing that I liked is when the stars were out, when the sky was lit up, and when there was snow on the ground, because the light above would kind of light up those ditches, so at least I could see if there was a predator there that was out to get me. And of course, in the yard was the big, bright yard light. And that was like home. That was like the destination. Now, I didn't dilly-dally. I walked as fast as I could, and when I got home, my mom would have supper waiting for me. Me, who had traveled through the darkness toward the light. But I had a chore to do. You see, we had a collie named Lassie. I know, pretty creative. And with our dog, I had to make sure that I put her in the barn, that I fed her, watered her, etc., in those cold, dark, wintry nights. Now, I would go down there, but as I opened that barn door, I would want my dog to go in first. Now, I'm not saying I was a scary cat. I'm just saying that, well, I have respect for the darkness and for those who live in the darkness and who need the light. So what I would do is my dog would go in first, and then I'd kind of reach around because that's where the light switch was. And I wouldn't dilly-dally when I got in there because you never know who might be hiding in the barn, right? I went down there, I made sure that I gave water to my dog and made sure that she had her food and extra straw of a bedding to keep her warm. And I said, okay, no, you take care of things in here, Lassie. And then I headed up, shut the door, and went into the warmth and the light of my home. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and shine within your people here. Darkness can sometimes be a symbol of despair and of fear and of worry and trepidation. Dark moments or dark seasons in our lives, times of sorrow, times of uncertainty. And so the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah was speaking to people who lived and dwelt and found their home in constant darkness. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live and walk there ceaselessly, upon them light shines. Well, that must have seemed kind of crazy to the people who are living in darkness. Say, I don't know what kind of light you're talking about, Isaiah, but it's not in my world. Because 700 years before Christ was born, Ahaz was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and there were 10 tribes in the north, the kingdom of Israel, and all they could see was dark clouds, and they were, of course, the Assyrian Empire. And in 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire completely demolished the northern kingdom, and hardly anyone survived. Most were carted off or killed, and there was nothing but darkness and despair there in the land, in the whole land. Now, King Ahaz was offered a sign, a blank check, if you will. You name it, Ahaz, God's going to give it to you. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Ahaz did not turn to the light. Instead, he went deeper into the darkness. He built altars to pagan gods in the temple of the Lord. And then he took his son and he sacrificed him on that pagan altar as a burnt offering. He could have pursued the light. He could have heard the prophetic voice of Isaiah, the messenger of Almighty God. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. But he didn't. And so instead he consulted the dead, and mediums, and spiritists, and false prophets. And eventually, the darkness consumed not only the northern kingdom, but the southern kingdom as well. And God's people had to wait. It was a long season of Advent. It wasn't only 4 weeks long. It was a long season of Advent, hundreds of years. People waiting, hoping, praying that what Isaiah said would come to fulfillment. And then in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We've beheld God's glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth for you and for me. 2,000 years ago, when Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled, it was a dark and gloomy time for people living in Palestine. Caesar was in charge. The Roman government, well, they were flexing their muscles. And they were ruthless in their treatment of God's people. And it was a dark time, a gloomy time, a despairing time. And Caesar says, I'm going to make sure the people know who's in charge here. I'm going to have a census. And people are going to be enrolled where they come from, their roots. It was all about power. It was all about control. It was all about being a servant of the darkness rather than a vessel of the light. And so Joseph, being of the house and lineage of David, the city of David, Bethlehem. He traveled, and Mary, as you know, was expecting due any day, and she went with him. And when they got to Bethlehem, the house of bread, where the bread of life would be born, well, you know the story. There was no room in the inn. Actually, it means literally that Joseph's relatives that had a guest room, the guest room was already occupied. And so where could they put Mary and Joseph? In the safest, most secure spot in a home, where the animals slept. And so Jesus was born on that first Christmas and laid in a manger. And it was a dark time. The sky lit up, and the shepherds, uneducated, not particularly devout Jews practicing the faith, but the first to hear the good news. They were out in the shepherd's fields, and they were taking care of the sheep, and suddenly there was an explosion in the skies, and it all lit up. In the darkness, there was light, and an angel of the Lord said, "Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that's going to come to all people. For to you is born, this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, a host, an army of angels. I mean, this thing was just lit up. And you know what they were singing? Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father. You know that. The Gloria. They were all singing it, and they were shouting it, and they were celebrating it. The gift of light. I don't know how you feel about the darkness. It's not my best friend. And even as an adult, I still have some fears and trepidations. And I know that in this joyous season of light, there are people who are experiencing heartaches and challenges and sorrows and struggles, maybe an empty place, an empty seat around the family table or in the family home. You see, the darkness refuses to vacate our residence. The darkness always wants to hold us captive, like Ahaz, like the people 700 years before Jesus in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, like the people 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem or in the occupied territory of Palestine when Caesar said, I'm the boss, and darkness is going to rule in your life forever. And it's then, and it's now, when we need to hear the good news and the great joy. That's what John is proclaiming. In the beginning was the Word, you know, and the Word was with God, you know, and the Word was God. And all things were made through the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the eternal Logos, the everlasting light, and the life is the light of all people. And the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, full of grace and truth, and we behold God's glory. The light shines in the darkness. In John chapter 3, you know the story of a nighttime conversation in the dark, Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a respected ruler of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the upper echelons. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. He comes to Jesus at night, and they have a conversation about the importance, the absolute necessity of being born again. And Nicodemus, no matter how intellectually bright he is, doesn't have a clue. He doesn't get it. He will, but not yet. How can this be? He doesn't understand. And then Jesus announces the truth. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But this is the judgment. This is the crisis. This is the turning point, for better, for worse. You see, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. We need the Word made flesh. We need the promise that was spoken by Isaiah 2,700 years plus ago. The people who walk in darkness have seen the great light. And those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, upon them light shines. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And because this is Almighty God, you can't just put one label of a name. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name shall be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He will save God's people from their sins. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of His reign, and of His rule, and of His kingship, there will be no end. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In the year 303 A.D., there was a Roman emperor by the name of Diocletian. And he was ruthless and he was brutal. And he had one goal and objective. He wanted to completely exterminate the name Christian. He wanted to make the name Christian extinct. And so he ordered that all Bibles be burned and destroyed, and that all followers of Christ be martyred and put to death. And thousands were crucified and killed in this dark time under the rule of Diocletian. 2 years after he began his extermination of the Christians, 2 years, he thought he had accomplished all of his goals. So he had a victory pillar erected, and it had the word on it, "Extinct is the name Christian." About 20 years later, there was a new emperor by the name of Constantine. And Constantine, as you know, made Christianity the religion of the empire. And Constantine, when he became the ruler of the Roman Empire, he said, "I will give a reward to anyone who can find and produce a Bible." Within 24 hours, 50 Bibles were brought to Constantine. You see, Diocletian was a servant of the darkness. And he thought that he could eradicate Christianity and the light, the everlasting light, Jesus Christ. But he couldn't. Even in the midst of all that darkness, the light still shines. And there were Christians, followers of Christ, who refused to worship the darkness. They were determined to follow the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That's the promise. Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And blessed is the one who believes that there will be a fulfillment of God's promise. Blessed are you on this dark night. You know the truth. You know Jesus, the everlasting light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and shine upon your people here. Her name is Roxley Das. She's 11 years old. She loves to ride horse. She comes from Buda, Texas. And she's been raised in a Christian home where she knows Jesus is the light of the world. Now, Roxley, this past June, was diagnosed with brain cancer. And it's such a severe brain cancer, about 300 kids contract that in the United States every year. And only 1% lives to be 5 years of having that brain cancer. So the doctors told Roxley's parents, she has probably 3 to 5 months, but we can maybe extend the time a bit if we give her some radiation. So 6 weeks this past summer, 6 days a week, radiation treatment. And then in September, they did an MRI. And the doctors are befuddled. And the doctors can't explain it because there's no sign of this treacherous darkness of cancer in this little girl's brain. Completely gone. You see, her parents, they prayed for a Christmas miracle. And they said, God did it! Oh, we know. We know the darkness. And we know the cancer might return. But right now, we're celebrating the light. The light that shines in the darkness, and no darkness can overcome it. Even if we can't understand it or comprehend it. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face. You who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. In the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21 and 22, there will be no sea. There will be no night. There will be no weeping, no more tears. All the darkness will be gone. Because the Lamb is the light in the city of God. Oh, you can go ahead if you want. And you can pack one of these little critters. My mom did. And it will probably keep you from tripping up and falling and stumbling and getting hurt in a strange place, a dark place. But better yet, my friends, pack the Word of God. God's Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And best of all, walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus, the everlasting light, because no darkness can overcome Him or those who live in Christ. This, my friends, is what gives you and me the gift of a Merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.